And what it is, everybody? This is Fourth and Fantasy. Back at it again, back at it, bringing the vibes. Another week, another day, another 24. Rocco, how you feeling, my G?
Feeling great, man. This is awesome. I'm back from Kansas City, and let me tell you, I am so happy to be home.
You're about to be back, my man. You don't.
So happy.
Yeah. After experiencing all that technical, it always feels like we always have some type of technical difficulties when we're on the road. When I was on the road in Orlando, it seems like we had something. And then you go on the road in Kansas, it's just always something. But we're
Yeah,
back at it.
it
We're
was.
back at it again, my brother. And always got to be the one to remind y'all during these wonderful times that it is playoff time. Round one is done, is in the books. Some of y'all have been bounced out. Some of y'all are on the couch watching everybody else get the glory while we move on to round two. A couple of my teams actually did very much get bounced out round one, I have to say. And a couple of surprises. Some players let me down, but for the most part, money leagues, I'm still in there. We're still good. I had bye weeks in the more important leagues, so we're still feeling good. How you feeling after round one, Rocco?
No surprises. I think I went 6-5 in round one. I had seven byes, so I have 13 teams still alive. No major upsets. The teams that lost, I can see why they lost. They basically weren't good enough. I don't think I was basically favored in any of my losses. I didn't think, I mean, anything can happen in the playoffs, and you hope it does, but there wasn't a lot of hope championship-wise for these teams. They were good teams, but they were just lacking something, whether it was injuries that derailed some of these teams, especially late injuries. I think Njoku being out hurt some leagues. Cooper Kupp's zero hurt some teams. Purdy's 5 points hurt some teams. And so, some of those teams just weren't able to recover. But I feel good. My $100 leagues are still alive. I got four of those. This is money week.
This is Money
This
Week.
is money week. So if you win this week, 90% of the leagues that you're in, you're probably going to win at least first or second. And if you lose, hopefully you have a third place prize. But we don't want to lose. We want to win. We want to win some money. So weird shit happens this week.
I feel like
Luckily,
that's I
last
felt.
year I had Amari Cooper drop a 50 burger and beat like a 13-1 team last year. And the worst part was I traded the guy, Amari Cooper, because I thought he was finished, as he's been, most of this year, which he still had that 50 in him, so that cost me money.
No, we say this all the time that the playoffs is very much about luck. It's about, you some players just get hot at that right moment, at that right time. Like you had Davante Adams, who in the first half of that game this past weekend didn't have any catches, didn't have any receiving yards in that first half. They end up going for 198 yards. So I think I saw this one post from, I forget where I saw it from. Either it was in a league or it was on social media, but they were like some hopeless fellow just had Devontae, like not some non-playoff team just had Davante Adams just drop 40 plus for no reason. So no, it's during those times you just, it's about being unlucky. There's a few playoff games that I felt like I was in there. I felt good going in, and the guy just ended up just having guys like Justin Hill ended up having a 20 plus get point game. So It's the first round. That week 15 is always a sticky one, and I feel like week 16 doesn't really get any better. But like those first two, go ahead.
The receivers that went off and some of the running backs held some teams back. Derrick Henry, I believe, had about 6 points.
He sure did. But
Joe Mixon didn't do much. Saquon Barkley, who's been carrying people. Very pedestrian game. People, running backs that people been counting on that been carrying teams didn't carry them in the first round. So hopefully they carried you to a first round bye, because a lot of those teams that have Saquon and Derrick Henry are now out.
And I'm one of those people who do have quite a bit of Derrick Henry, and I did expect him to have a better game. But also when you have Lamar Jackson throwing 5 touchdowns, it kind of stops what you have going forward. And then Justin Hill started getting more involved to the game as the game got out of hand. So you just hate to see that in week 15. Good thing I had to buy, so I didn't really have to worry about that for the most part. But that game did have me thinking this past day or so about maybe just if you still have that trade deadline open. I've thought about potentially trying to go get me a Josh Jacobs, someone who I feel like the volume is going to be consistent there, I won't say Derrick Henry, the volume won't be there. He has a tougher matchup coming up this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see how that goes. I think at this point you might just have to roll with what you have. But, yeah, that's the playoff time. Like I said, it's playoff time. That's what we're rolling with.
And I'll say on the flip side, some of those teams that were eliminated, I immediately went to go check and see if my trade deadline's still open. And if it is, I'm aggressively pushing some of my older pieces to those teams that are going for the championship. In a league we share, I just traded Saquon Barkley. And it wound up opening up to Saquon Barkley and Terry McLaurin. And in return, I got CMC. I'm going to take a flyer on him because, coming into the season, CMC was valued higher than Saquon. Obviously, that's not how the season went, but I'm going to take a flyer on him. If he comes back, it's a smash for me. But also in that trade, I got DJ Moore. I got Jordan Addison. And I got a guy who I saw you just traded the second for. I think he's an up-and-coming tight end for Jacksonville, and he's putting up better numbers than the incumbent Evan Ingram has this year, putting up monster numbers, in fact, with Mac Jones. Brenton Strange, I kind of...
Brenton Strange!
Sneakily kind of added to the deal just to kind of build my talent level, and I get a little nervous when guys are going to have over, 350 touches in a season, especially a team that's going to make a deep playoff run. I could easily see him, Saquon, slowing down a little bit next year. He could do the same thing he's doing this year, but I don't like to bet on guys with those heavy workloads. So, and I helped another team, try to further their championship run. So that's what I'm doing for teams that been eliminated. Dynasty is never over.
It is 24/7. That's how we like it. That's how I love to tell people. Dynasty, if you don't,
never
if you're not in it 24/7 to be around 365 year around, then please go play redraft. That is your game. Go play on ESPN. Go play on Yahoo. Those are your platforms, and they will get you up and right. But those are the playoffs. I think this week, me and Rocco actually go against each other in 3 leagues. So it's actually quite – we go against each other in 2 IDP leagues. One's a redraft, one's Dynasty, and then we in Super Friends. We go against each other in those. And it's looking like I believe in one of them we're second and third. I think we might be second and third in 2 of those. So no, I don't know, Rocco. I'm looking to whoop your ass, my boy. It's all it's, yeah. It's not.
The AI likes you so far. I think your favorite in the ones that count, the free ones. You know, if I win, great. If I don't win, okay.
Let's get
You
this
know,
money.
I like the bragging rights, but you know, money motivates me more. Motivated by the money, so.
What about the money? The money. But yeah, that's the playoff time. We love it here. We love this time. And then once we get move out of the playoff time with these next 2 weeks, it's going to be on to the off season. It's going to be on to that draft, these prospects, and getting more deep diving into those. But before we get into our main heavy hitting topics of the night, follow us on Blue Sky, if you will, on that wonderful piece of social media that we all grown to love in our everyday lives, where you can find us producing content. Once again, we did hit 400 followers. Once again, thank you all for supporting. And if we're actually going to send out a shout out now on, if you're go ahead and join our Discord, where you can find us on there giving sit start and sit advice, talking about the playoffs, talking about dynasty, talking about different prospects that we like coming up and different trades that we like in if we're rebuilding or if we're contending. So tap in with us on our Discord. It is free.
And you know, I think that's a sign of you know, very good dynasty team that we have here, that we're all facing each other in the playoffs. Because I just faced Max in a couple leagues in the first round. I smashed him. Sorry, Max.
Had to whoop
You
your ass, boy.
know,
Got you.
so hopefully you know, we have good games, and you know, we don't leave anything out on the bench, and
No.
you know, one of us gonna win some money in these
Oh, yeah,
leagues.
one of
That's
us.
the good thing, you know. IRS don't look, but
Well,
we're gonna win some
yeah.
money. It's not enough. It's not enough for y'all to be concerned.
But no, for real though, we're coming home with some money. Yeah, we're coming home with some chips. That champions, that's what this
Danny
whole thing.
DeVito.
That's what we need. Bang, bang. But let's bring y'all some of the latest news that came in these last couple of days. David Montgomery, sad to hear. He is going to be. I can't even say when I did write this out. It was potential. But I think it's grown more that he's out for the season. He suffered a torn MCL this past week. I know that sucks for playoff teams. You
And
did
what a
not expect that.
warrior. He played through that in some of that in the second half. So,
It's
kudos to him.
yeah,
He's
kudos.
he gave it everything he had, but you know, it's torn.
But
You
those
can't do
kudos,
that.
no pun intended. It's no pun intended. But no, it's kudos to David. But those kudos aren't going to buy you a playoff win. Those kudos aren't going to get you to that championship. And I think
Certainly in some places.
this gives the opportunity that what people have been waiting for the last 2 years is gives to have that workhorse role, to have that, to get the majority of snaps, majority of those shares going forward. So I'm excited. I'm curious to see what Gibbs does. I think now might be the time if those are that might be one of the guys that if someone, if that team is out, I don't really see much people selling Gibbs, but if you can, if that player team is not in the playoffs and your trade deadline is not over yet, go ahead and try to get you a Jahmyr Gibbs for the playoffs and going forward. And I think he's a leg winner. If you have him, he's going to be the one that gets you the chip if you're going for that playoff push. But sad to hear about David Montgomery, a
I
speedy
hope so.
recovery.
He's so untouchable in any trade negotiations I've tried to have. You know, people will tell you three first, and that may get the conversation started. He may win you a ship, but you're gonna have to pay for that type of production. I'm looking at it on the flip side. I want to know who is going to pick up some of that work, because they're not going to give Jahmyr Gibbs 100%. So maybe a sneaky ad, would be Craig Reynolds or Sione Vaki, who a lot of people in the community liked, you know, coming into this year. I think Craig Reynolds is going to pick up all of the leftover pieces. He's not very exciting, but behind that offensive line and in that offense, he may fall into a Jamal Williams type role, and he might get you 50 yards and a touchdown. So he might be a little bit of a sneaky ad. You'll have to have balls of steel to start him this week.
Balls of steel.
But you may not have any options in deep league, so hopefully I added him in a few places where I could potentially need him. Mm-hmm. I've also added some Vaki, just pure upside stash. See if he can do anything.
I've had Vaki literally all season on my taxi squads. So this might be the time to see if he gives you any type of value or if he has any type of value going forward. But speedy recovery to you, David.
But yeah, Gibbs could win league, so hopefully I don't have to face him in too many places in the semifinals.
Next news. This might be the number one news. This might be the news that everyone has been looking forward to, whether you're a Kyle Pitts owner, whether you're a Drake London owner. But Kirk Cousins has been benched in ATL. He is no longer the starter of the Falcons and Michael Penix. It is your time. It is showtime. It is your time to be that guy. What do you think of this, Rocco?
The puns just write themselves, man. Glad to see Penix inserted into the lineup. You know, I'm sure Penix had a hard time sitting on the bench, but now he is upright and in there. All jokes aside, anybody, as you can attest, as a guy that owns Drake London on probably 75% of your teams.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm sure you got tired of seeing Cousins flail around and not provide, you know, that upside that you bought into London for.
100%.
As a Pitts, I have Pitts in plenty of places, so hopefully he can revive Pitts' career. I think some of it's on Cousins, a lot of it's on Pitts, so hopefully he has that rapport with Penix, because he certainly didn't have it with Cousins. So I think it just gives hope to a lot of players on Atlanta. I survived a zero from Darnell Mooney just this past week. Max almost beat me because I got a zero from Darnell, and he got like 15 from DJ Moore, but one touchdown would have beat me. So yeah. I was sweating that game out just because Cousins couldn't get my guy not one catch. So, so I have Penix on a lot of my taxi squads. So his value just went from maybe a second to a first plus. So you can either wait and see what happens, or you can start flipping those Michael Penix shares.
And can you remember to the time, let's go back a few months ago, where it's draft night and the Atlanta Falcons select Penix in the first round after just signing Kirk Cousins to a mega deal, right? We're all like, what is Atlanta doing? This doesn't make sense. Why would you draft a quarterback when you just did this? But now they're kind of looking, I can't even say they look like geniuses, because you just dropped that money and there's no logical way to get out of this without forking up some money to get rid of Cousins.
The mistake was signing yeah. Cousins. That's the mistake, not drafting a franchise, which your coaching staff believes is a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
Giving Kirk Cousins fresh off of an Achilles tear, over $90 million guaranteed, that is the mistake.
And then what I personally love about this move is, and I was talking about it a little bit on blue sky is that Penix in this draft to me was one of the better deep ball throwers. I thought that when it came to moving the ball down the field, getting the ball downfield, it's the reason why guys like Rome Odunze and McMillan and Polk were looked at the way they were is because of Penix. And I think he is a very composed quarterback. I think his intangibles go a long ways to be pro ready. He might have been the most pro ready quarterback in the draft. So just going forward, I think it opens up things for Atlanta where he's going to have he's going to have more arm strength to get push the ball deeper downfield, more accurate. Maybe, what we've seen with NFL or rookie quarterbacks is that they like to target their number one wide receiver. They like to pepper them with targets. I, as a Drake London owner, and I feel like if I say owner, that's an understatement because at the amount or percentage of Drake London shares I have. But though I think Drake London is going to have an increase in his value. And if this move does anything as people have wanted for the longest time all season to see Penix come in, I hope it does do exactly what we think it will. So shout out to Michael Penix. I hope you do your thing, my G, as a secondary Falcons fan. There's always go Cowboys. But I always got to root for my secondary team, Falcons. And I hope you do wonders for my boy, Drake London, and bring back Kyle Pitts from the grave.
Not this week because I'm facing Kyle Pitts in my home league. So don't you can put a few on him, but don't go too crazy.
Don't go too crazy.
I
And
don't care
then.
about London, but Pitts, yeah. Don't take a week to figure it out.
And to wrap up our QB news, Geno Smith was a full participant today in today's practice after having a little scare over the weekend, where it's getting a little limited at that QB spot, and you can't have a quarterback go down right now in the playoffs at this point. It's looking a little scary, but Geno's looking like a full participant. One of the people I was looking at trading for was Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and what was going to stop that whole thought was if Geno Smith was out, because I didn't like what I saw from Sam Howell, and if I was going to make a trade for JSN in the playoffs, I would want it to be with Geno Smith to get max production out of that. But how do you feel about Geno Smith going forward? If you do have Geno Smith in the playoff time, can you lean on him in these, tricky times?
Man, my YouTube short with Sam Howell looks like shit right now. I'm gonna have to redo another video with a bumbling, stumbling, fumbling kind of soundtrack to it. I mean, if you're in a position where you have to start Geno Smith, I mean, you just have to, you just have to let Jesus take the wheel on this one because if he plays, you have to play him. I have a league where he's my second QB, and I don't have any other options. So guess what? He's playing.
He's playing.
He's a full participant. It looked very scary because you could tell he wanted to come back in, but he just wasn't right. So I wonder what the injury was because I've seen him play through some hellified shit before. But for whatever reason, he couldn't get past this one. You could see, well, I'll say this. Sam Howell's performance out there created a lot more job security for Geno Smith because Howell definitely wasn't ready for prime time.
No. And the way, and maybe, sometimes not everyone has that, genetic makeup of just being ready to go at all times 24/7, and they need that game prep to be able to go. So, and maybe Sam Howell is one of those guys, but, and that was
Missed the
one of
job.
That is no. You're right. You're going to say that is the job description to be ready to go at any given time. And Howell, I don't know. I've acquired him quite a. I won't say quite a bit, but here and there, this
I
season.
got him in a lot of places. I know a lot of people love that guy, but
Yeah.
I did not like what I saw out
I
there.
did not. So just hindsight, just looking forward, I still think it's Geno Smith time. I don't think he's in any danger of losing that job, but I do know that the Seahawks love Howell, so they're going to give him time. They're going to give him a chance to actually,
But
get that.
I think Gino is a super underrated guy. He
Yes.
every once in a while, especially when you turn on the TV, you'll see something boneheaded. But for the most part, he's a pretty consistent quarterback, and he always has that team ready to compete. And he puts numbers on the guys that I care about. So, Sam Howell, his problem is the same problem he had in Washington. He holds on to the ball. He doesn't feel pressure. He just, I mean, that's the long and short of it. You got to get rid of that ball. You have to have an internal clock in your head to know that pressure is coming. I mean, Geno was facing the same pressure, and he didn't have, what, seven sacks that Howell absorbed. I mean, I never felt like, Seattle had a chance with him in there. He couldn't get not one positive play going for that team. So yeah, that was a horrible view on the airplane coming back from actually, I was coming from Colorado. It was a connecting flight. Finally got my phone working. the last day in Kansas City, I was watching some Red Zone on my phone, watching it pretty much all day, just kind of doing my thing and keeping an eye on it. By the time it got time to go to the airport, I noticed my phone was almost dead, and we went through so much shit just to get on that plane. And by the time I got on that plane, phone completely died. So I was just on a wing and a prayer that when I landed and charged my phone up, I didn't lose in all of my leagues, and I won in the ones that counted. So I was happy about that. But I guess the moral of the story is don't plan vacations in playoff week.
Only thing that matters during that time is fantasy, right? I mean, but let me stop playing.
Yeah.
It's all about family. Let me stop. But before we move on to our wonderful topic of Devy player that we didn't get to this past week, the last game that I would like to talk about, which is comes on tomorrow, which is the first game of the second round of the playoffs, is the Broncos versus Chargers, with the Broncos going to visit the Chargers at their stadium. A couple of guys that we're looking at in there. Obviously, you got Bo Nix, you have Sutton in there, you have Herbert, you have Ladd McConkey, guys like that. Some people, if you had Ladd McConkey, go ahead and start him. I feel like he's somebody who's been on a streak lately. He's got a good rapport with Herbert. And, he's one of the focal points of that offense. And so if you need a start, even if it's Denver, who allowed the seventh fewest points to wide receivers, I think at this point you have no other pivots really, actually, at this point, with so many injuries and people getting knocked off and not being able to play. I think you just have to play Ladd at this point. But what do you think about tomorrow's game, Thursday Night Football?
I'm not gonna lie, I get just a little bit terrified of Thursday night football during playoff season because we've seen too many bullshit Thursday night games where not enough points are scored. And the Broncos should have seemingly have a pretty damn good defense. The only time I really saw them get exposed was against Jameis Winston, actually, who just got benched. Yeah, I think Ladd McConkey is definitely a solid wide receiver too. for Thursday. I am a little bit nervous about Justin Herbert. I'm kind of debating on whether to play Herbert or Anthony Richardson, both who have, definite warts. In the semifinals, it's kind of scary to start either of them, to be honest, because I just worry because every single week it seems like Herbert's picking up an ankle, re-injured the ankle,
He takes a pounder.
takes a pounding
Yeah.
every single week, and I just worry about that, man. I really worry about that, and with the Broncos elite defense, big Nick Bonitito is picking up.
Big Nick Bonito, that boy is.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two touchdowns in consecutive games, and he's emerging as a stud. So hopefully, Justin Herbert's line can protect him. But that game, may not be as high scoring as we want. So that makes me a little bit nervous. But yeah, you have to start. You're gonna have to start McConkey. I guess you probably should start Herbert unless you have, a better option. On the other side, I'm starting Bo Nix. I'm probably gonna start Sutton, and kind of good luck with anybody else.
Like you have to like any quarterback at this point, you have to just start them, right? If it's not someone in the likes of rest, unless you have really good three quarterback options, then you have two solid quarterbacks and you're riding with those two good solid quarterbacks.
Who
But
would you go with, AR or Herbert?
I would probably go with Herbert, just because of I like, I don't know, that's kind of hard. I would go with Herbert just because I just personally like what he's been doing lately. Anthony Richardson can, I don't know, that's a hard one. I think both Anthony Richardson gets you points and potentially in two different ways, whereas Herbert can. Yeah, I'll go Herbert. I'll do Herbert. It's slightly leaned to Herbert, but I'll do Herbert.
Yeah, it's
But
probably definitely the safer option.
we are at our wonderful topic of Devy player of not this week, but
Yeah, this
past
week.
week.
Not this week. We do it on Sunday. Sunday's the beginning of the week, so we didn't get a chance to do this on Sunday, so we're gonna do it tonight.
We're gonna do it tonight. Yeah, huh?
We do a short show on the road.
And we're going with Jordan James, Mr. RB Oregon. And no, he doesn't give me actual vibes of Mr. Bucky Irving, but he is, while I was watching his film, he is somebody that you're like, hey, that guy's a really good football player. He might not make a lot of wild plays. He might not break off a lot of long runs, like electrifying from this, or at least from this year. But damn it, he does a lot of the good things. And let me stop talking because I have a few couple clips on that good man, Jordan James. But what do you think about our Devy player?
I think he's a solid, compact build. I think 5'10", 210, so
He
he's big
is.
enough. He's big enough for the league. He's strong. He's well built. I like his cuts in space. I think he has the ability to make guys miss in space. I've seen him, make some things happen with guys getting into the backfield. I like that play. Kind of ran into the back of his offensive lineman, but leaked out the side. The thing I like about a lot of guys in this class is, really good contact balance. You see him, people clipping at his legs, and he kind of just bounces off and keeps going. I seen him catch the ball out of the backfield, so He definitely has, you know, a three down skill set. Some of the downsides, I've seen him get caught on some breakaway runs. You know, that's something I didn't like. It seems you would hope a guy like him would have a little bit more breakaway speed,
Little bit more juice.
a little more juice in the long game. But I mean, there's plenty of running backs that can't break long runs that are very solid fantasy assets. He has a pretty nice little spin move that he'll break out. I did like that, but he's just a hard guy to kind of get down. So I definitely think he could be a sneaky committee back, and I think he has upside because he can catch the ball and he can run the ball as well. He can break tackles. He gets a forward lean. When you see him get tackled, you see him always going forward. So I just think he's a very, very solid back and a guy that's not going to be very highly drafted. I think he's a guy that you can add for very cheap, probably at the end of the second round, beginning of the third round. So those are the sneaky guys I like to, add at this time of the year. Everybody knows those guys at the top, but these more unheralded guys, they can sneak onto your team, and he's part of a winning organization. So that's a part of it too.
No, with Jordan James, when I was watching, his film and just overall body of work, in 2024 he had 226 attempts, 1,253 rushing yards, and 15 touchdowns, and then 24 catches, 202 receiving yards. So he is incorporated in the passing game. He does get, involved in that type of, screen game, catching those balls in a short game. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Jones, with how his play is. Not well, Aaron Jones, you see a little bit more of big plays, but they're tough guys. Like I said, good football players. What I like
Maybe
about
Aaron Jones has a little bit more of that long speed, but
Yeah, Aaron Jones
I
has
see that comparison.
like Aaron Jones, what I like about Aaron Jones is he gets the job done. Now with Jordan James, he's also had a little bit of fumbling issues, but he first broke into the scene his junior year when he was backing up Bucky Irving. And him and Bucky Irving are relatively the same size. I don't think they play to the same play style. I think Bucky Irving plays a lot bigger than Jordan James. I think he breaks more
It's
tackles
funny
than Jordan.
because Jordan James is like significantly weighs more than him.
Yeah, I think Bucky might be just 200, 205, 5'9"-ish, 5'10"-ish. So I like, but don't get me wrong, I like Jordan James, and like you said, he is somebody who I think you're going to be able to get in that mid to late, second round of the rookie draft. And hell, he most likely could be get or gotten in that third round of the rookie draft if you're needing or looking at that running back position. And I think he could carve out a role on the NFL team. He might not be the most spectacular running back. He might not be, the guy that makes the most wowish plays, but down in and down out, he'll get the job done. He'll be that nitty-gritty guy that you need. Does he need to be a workhorse guy? No, he doesn't. He could be a change of pace guy, like we see with a Bucky Irving. Just find a role with him. I think if you let him and let him get a role, you pair him with somebody, I think Jordan James can be a fine back in the NFL.
Yeah,
Because when I'm looking at these runs, he bounces, it's a lot. His first step is what I kind of like about him. Like he does, his long speed is not there. He's not going to be
no,
one of
he's
those.
got good burst though.
Yeah, he's not going to be a burner, but that first step is quick. And that's what really gets him his yards. And he's always looking to get additional yards. He's always looking to fall forward. So I like me some Jordan James. I
Just
like.
like the way it doesn't go down on first contact. That I think that's what kind of attracts me to him in a later round pick.
Yeah, I like a few guys. Like I'll be targeting a few guys before him, but you cannot go wrong with Jordan James. Once again, it just tells you how deep this RB class is in 2025 coming up. And I, you know, if I need a running back, or if I'm looking for a running back, or just looking for depth, Jordan James is one of those guys I'm going to be targeting.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's gonna end up on quite a few of my teams.
And that is our Devy Player of the Week, Mr. Jordan James. Have yourself a round of applause, and we hope that you have a great draft season. And as we move on to our last topic of the night, we want to thank you all for always tuning in. We're going to be getting a lot more, like I said at the beginning of the pod, we're going to be diving a lot more into the draft season once playoff time has rolled down, trickled down, and ended. That process does start, and we personally enjoy that. We like diving in to these different prospects and looking for those underrated gems. Those, and even besides the underrated gems, building out those fantasy teams. Because one of the teams that I had that just got bounced out the playoffs was a team that I had just brought back from being one of the worst teams in the league and made them a playoff contender in one season. So it is possible. If you do it right, you can rebuild in one season. It doesn't take two or three if you do your marbles. If you count your bread, absolutely, if you play correctly, you can be back into that game very quickly.
It also depends on, you know, you need to find an active league, because if it's an inactive league, it's that much harder to rebuild because you can't make the moves that you need to make to turn it around. So find active leagues and find active players.
And that is your fourth and fantasy message of the week. But like we started last week, we're going to finish off today. Woo. Our top 10 receivers in Dynasty. We went through 6 through 10. Today we're going to go through 1 through 5. And let me get that spreadsheet going. I know Rocco last week.
What's your list there?
You know, I keep moving on mine, and I'm going to have to move Nico out mine. I'm not going to be moving him out of my top 10, but I had to rethink this a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and put Puka, Mr. Puka Nacua.
Puka!
Mr. Puka Nacua in that seventh spot to make, and I feel better about this list so far for myself. How do you feel about your list so far?
I kind of sweated having Amon-Ra at 6, considering he damn near went for 200 yards on Sunday, but damn it. Keeping my list as is.
Keeping it as is.
Because I just think these other guys, they're just in positions to smash yearly. And it's not a knock on Amon-Ra. I just like these guys just a little bit more today. I'm always liable to change my mind by the end of the season. And damn it, I'm going to look stupid if Amon-Ra puts up another 190 yards on Sunday. But I have reasons that I like these other guys just a little bit more, these guys in my top 5.
And one thing I'm actually going to have to move out the way, I'm going to have to move DJ Moore out the...
Oh, not DJ Moore, that's my guy.
And I'm going to have to put Garrett Wilson at that number nine spot. After rethinking it, you know, I think, you know, Garrett Wilson, the talent, just in my top 10, I liked what he's done so far this year. And if I, let me look on Sleeper real quick just to see where he's at. On the last time I checked, he was like top, definitely in the top 10 for, yeah, he's number eight, number eight receiver in Dynasty this year. Love to see it. Love that for Garrett Wilson. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't even been, you know, what we are used to seeing from him, you know? So
yeah, absolutely.
It's, I like me some Garrett Wilson. And in Dynasty, you're betting on that youth. He's still young as hell. And he still has a lot more. I feel like his ceiling could be even higher than what it is. So we're seeing what the floor is. He produces when he doesn't have a quarterback. He produces when he has a washed up Aaron Rodgers. I want to see what Garrett Wilson does when he has a top tier quarterback. I think it's going to be fun watching him play football.
He's definitely in my next couple guys, but it's too many dots to connect for me. I'm not sure what his future holds, so he's right outside of my top 10.
So Rocco, okay, that's enough nonsense so far. Then let's hear what your number five is.
I'm gonna quickly run through my top five, then you can go through your top five, and then we'll discuss. So at five, I have Nico Collins.
We have Nico Collins on the board.
At number four, I have Puka Nacua.
We have Mr. Puka Nacua.
At three, I got your guy, C.D. Lamb.
Mr. Sadarian.
And that's his real name?
I think it's Sadarian.
That's crazy. I've been watching him a long time. I don't know if I ever heard that before. At number two, I got Jets.
Jay Jettis.
And that leaves number one, and you know who that is, Ja'Marr Chase. LSU dominating the top of the wide receiver rankings for me. So who you got? I see you're going to have some similar guys probably.
Oh, yeah.
Save for one. There's going to be one difference, and I kind of know who that other guy is going to be in your top five, but let's hear it.
So I will go with I will go Nico at number five. I really like Nico Collins, who he is in Houston. I thought the funny thing all season when Stephon Diggs signed, and obviously we haven't seen that trio at its full pair for a full season, but they were like, oh, Nico Collins is going to be, you know, he's not going to have the same value. He's not this, he's not that. But I think he's shown that he is the alpha of that trio group, that he is the guy that makes it tick. When he's on the field, you know, I still think they have a chance. And when they get Stephon Diggs back next season, you know, Tank Dell is having an off year, but hopefully he's able to get back to it next year as well. I think that, you know, Houston's right back at it. You know, right now, I don't see them as a real contender, but I love me some Nico Collins. He's one of the height, weight, speed specimens in the league. He's a freak at the wide receiver position. He can run past you like a gazelle. He can jump above you. He can go up and get the ball. He can run past you. Love it. Love him in that offense. So Nico Collins at my number five spot. I got to give Mr. Amon-Ra that number four spot because he's just been balling. Like the last, you can't look at what he's done the last, you know, three, four seasons and think he can't be on this list, or he shouldn't be, or he should be lower on this list, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he statistically puts up, you know, top five numbers in that offense. He is the number one receiver in that offense. And, you know, it could be a little fidgety sometimes of the guy that they like to consistently get the ball to. But how he does the ball, whether it's, you know, those short routes, those intermediate routes or deep routes, you know, I like me some ARSB. And that's why he's my number four receiver on my list. And then I think it should be fairly easy, you know, figuring out the rest. And my bias definitely plays a part in this. I don't care what nobody says whatsoever. But I'm going to go Jay Jettas at number three.
Come on.
Jay Jettas at number three. Don't care. Leave me alone. See, where I'm going to go, CeeDee Lamb at number two and Ja'Marr Chase at number one. I think what we saw or what we've seen from Ja'Marr Chase this year is unbelievable. I absolutely loved Ja'Marr Chase coming in to the league when he, you know, first coming in. I like CeeDee. He's my number one receiver at heart. I'm biased because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. You know, I love my guy. I love my dog. But when you just look at what Ja'Marr Chase does on the field, he is a running back at the receiver position. You know, he's just like Sadarian. I can't stop saying Sadarian because I know that's his gut. That might be his government. But just like 88, you know, he is a yak guy. He is a monster to, you know, take it. He, like, you got to get him the ball in his hand, and he's a playmaker after that. And then CD, he has to be number two, even with not having Dak for a good portion. These last, I say, month and a half, going on 2 months, he still is in top five, top three conversation of statistics. Love me some CD. I love his game. I like his route running technician. I think he's better route runner than Chase is, but Chase just happens to be more of the physical specimen when it comes to being the athlete. Then you got Jordan Jefferson, who some would say I am crazy to have CD in front of, but Justin Jefferson, I 100% could argue he could be the number one guy. And that's what I love about that top three positioning. These guys can move at that wide receiver one every year. Last year, it was CeeDee Lamb. The year previous, it was Justin Jefferson. So, you know, those guys are, I feel like every year is going to be in conversation for a wide receiver one.
Yeah. For me, it's always Justin Jefferson. But I had to move up Ja'Marr Chase just because he's going to win the Triple Crown this year. But I can easily see Justin Jefferson taking his crown back next year. Just the fact of, you know, the so 1,400-plus yard years to start out his career, it's just unbelievable, you know, what that guy does. He's probably the most talented natural receiver. But I think what takes Ja'Marr Chase, especially this year, to another level is just, like you said, what he can do after the catch. And he's just always a threat to take any catch to the house. I think he had, like, at some stat I saw where he had, like, the most, like, 50-yard runs out of the top 10. He probably had, like, five of the top 50-yard runs in the last few years. So it's just amazing what he can do with the ball in his hands. But if I need a first down or I need 15-20-yard catch, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody better in the league to get open and get me that damn catch than Justin Jefferson.
Yep. Exactly.
CeeDee Lamb is damn close to, you know, doing what Ja'Marr Chase does as well, you know, his ability to take the ball to the house, kind of like a running back as well. So you can't go wrong with any of those guys. I think the big difference that we have on this list is Amon-Ra and Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua is such a target magnet. He's been out most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's played 9 games and he still has 800 yards on the season. He's completely nuked Cooper Kupp production and made him almost irrelevant. Actually, in a low scoring game, he scored 0 points on last Thursday's game. So just the fact that Nacua has done to Cooper Kupp, and he's also leading the league in yards per route run with Nico Collins coming in at second. And that's a big reason why I have those guys up there. They missed a few games, and if you want to knock that, you're more than welcome to. But, they're going to have well over 1,000 yards with missing 5 games. So, that type of production, you're going to get it every single week they're in there. They don't have slow games. Their slow games are 15 points. There's no duds in there. So that's why I just love those guys. Amon-Ra was super close. I was tempted to move him up after 190 yards. But if you look at it, Amon-Ra has 1,000 yards. And these guys are basically, maybe about 200 yards less, with 5 less games. So,
mm-hmm.
I take that into account when I rank them.
Hey man, I keep looking at these things, and I'm like, I think I gotta change it again. I might have to take George Pickens out of my top 10 dynasty receivers.
Such a deep group. It's just so hard.
Because it's one of the things, I was actually looking at George Pickens' stats this year and where his ranking that he was placed. I think this year he's 30, wide receiver like 30 something this year, which I was like, all right, how?
His problem is he only has 3 touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. He doesn't catch the ball. He doesn't catch a lot of balls. So that. In a PPR league, it doesn't do you much. So
I'm gonna tell you what fucks me off about him is he'll get you less than 10 points for like 3 games in a row. As soon as you sit that son of a gun, he's going off for 200, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's just hard for me to rely on. I definitely would never rely on him as a wide receiver too. He's more of a guy I like better as a second or third flex, where if he goes off, great, he probably wins me the week. If he doesn't go off, it doesn't kill me.
So I'm going to move a couple of these guys up. So Puka stays at my 6. Drake London moves up to my number 7 spot. Garrett Wilson, I will move up to my number 8 spot. And then I'm going to bring back my boy DJ Moore.
He kicked him out the club and welcomed it right back.
I'm gonna put my boy DJ Moore, but instead of putting him in front of AJ Brown, I'm gonna put him behind AJ Brown because I don't think he's better than AJ Brown. I think that would be very disrespectful to say.
AJ Brown is the yards per route run king.
I think he is still a dog, but I do think DJ Moore does have a say to be in this top 10 list off of, I just like guys who are able to produce no matter who's at quarterback. And DJ Moore
almost at 1,000 yards, and he's also missed 3 games,
mm-hmm.
which, we can speak to their health, but, when these guys are in the game, they more often than not smash. And he has 1,000. He has close to 1,000 yards, and there were a couple games where he was pissed off at Jalen Hurts. So that just lets you know, whenever he's in the game, whenever he's throwing the ball, let me put it that way, not when he's in the game, but whenever he's throwing the ball, good things happen.
And before we go, Rocco, one person that I did notice that I left off this list that I didn't type their name in, Chris Olave. If Chris Olave was on this list, would he be on your top 10?
Top 10? He's not in my top 20. Get out of here.
He's not even in the top 20.
No, look at all those good names that are not on this top 10 list. I mean, you know,
we got Flowers.
Tonki, who's killing it as a rookie. Killing it as a rookie. Terry McLaurin, who's going to have, you know, 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. Well, he has 11 touchdowns right now, so he may get closer to 15 touchdowns. You got Mike Evans. How could I take him over Mike Evans?
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Harrison Jr., just on upside alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of guys that I like over Chris Olave, man. He needs to get himself healthy. Honestly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd take him over. I probably wouldn't take him over Devonta Smith. Fully healthy, I wouldn't take him over Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk's proven it with a 1,400-yard season. You know, there's just a lot of guys that I like better than him. I mean, I like a Jordan Addison. All he does is produce.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Downs, who's breaking out all over the place. Rashee Rice, who was the number one wide receiver before his quarterback took his knee out.
Yeah, I think some people might have put Rashee Rice on their top 10. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have put Rashee on my top 10, but
no, not my top 10. I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
11 through 20, this is the guys we're talking about. Zay Flowers, I love me some Zay Flowers. I mean, I'd probably have to pigeonhole Tyreek Hill in there. You know, so there's a lot of guys that I would take over Olave. I'm not a homer. I'm going to call it like I see it. I think he's got a lot of talent, but he's got to wear a big helmet or something because Derek Carr needs to stop throwing him hospital balls.
Stop throwing him hospital balls.
He's closer to retirement than being in my top 20.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, I don't like that. That's a shot. Chris Olave.
I don't want the guy to get hurt. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I've seen him make some tremendous plays, but he struggles to get 1,000 yards. Touchdowns, and a lot of that's on the team. But honestly, when I was watching games this year, I would have preferred they throw it to Shaheed more than Chris Olave.
Mm-hmm. No, as you know, Chris Olave, when he was someone who I probably did throw first around maybe two or three times in the offseason, burnt me very much. So fuck you, Chris Olave, and I can't really say that, but I mean that. I do mean that. But I really wish you a good recovery, but fuck you. And you
that sounds like what I was doing for George Pickens. I threw out a lot of random first to pick him up.
Yeah, George Pickens might be another one of those guys that might burn you down the line. But those are our top 10 receivers in Dynasty. You know, you might agree with the list, and if you do, yeah, you one of our peoples. If you don't, well, that's your opinion. And your opinion is your opinion. That's the wonderful thing about it.
I take debates, man. You know, I debate on my list all day.
Every day.
I won't run away from it. I like my list. I think it's a solid list. And, you know, if you disagree, you know, let us know. Let us know on Blue Sky. Let us know. You know, whatever social media. Let us know in the Discord.
Let us know where you catch us.
Jump in there and talk your shit. I'll back mine up.
We're going. But that has been our wonderful show. This is episode 15. Once again, we're going. It doesn't even feel like we've been at it that long, but we haven't been at it long actually at all. Yeah, 15 episodes, relatively very young in a podcast journey, and
a couple months.
Yeah, and we know what we're loving the process step by step as we continue to grow, as we still continue to figure out the process figure out, the next steps in our journey. Thank you all for tuning in as always. And you can catch us again Sunday. I always want to say Saturday. I don't know why, but you can catch us Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Time, giving y'all all the latest vibes before those latest games in round two of your fantasy playoffs. Hopefully one step closer to bringing chips home in 2024.
Let's win some championships. Best not against win. Me, but against anybody else. Not against Huncho either. Unless you playing me.
Gotta eat a couple W's. Well, Jameson ain't eating no W. You got bench boy, but eat some W's.
I guess not. He's throwing so many damn interceptions.
Deliver me from pick sixes. Yeah, it was time to get him up out of here. But thank you for some good times, for some good games, Jameson.
I'm with Jameis just for the vibes. And he puts numbers on those receivers. He made a man out of Jerry Jeudy. He excited us with Cedric Tillman before he got hurt. He even put some numbers on David Njoku and Elijah Moore. So hopefully his sit on the bench is short-lived and he gets back in there and he keeps throwing those picks and touchdowns and passes to people I have on my teams.
Well, shout out to you, Jameis. And the Lord has delivered you from pick six because you won't be throwing no more any to be starting.
I believe he'll be in by halftime this next game.
Well, Rocco, another episode with MIG, my guy, as always. Until next time, you know where to catch us. Y'all have a good night. Go for that chip, baby. Hope y'all have a good night. This is Fourth and Fantasy.
Fourth and Fantasy. Like us.